Welcome, welcome, welcome to the PWC podcast. This is brought to you by Pittsford Wesleyan Church, and we are just so glad you're diving in with us today. Okay, let me ask you this. Have you ever been in that spot, that really frustrating place, where you knew the right thing to do? Maybe it was, I don't know, a health warning you really should have listened to, or a financial red flag just waving right there, or even just that quiet, persistent nudge in your heart saying something important, but then you just ignored it anyway.
That tension, right? That gap between knowing and actually doing. That's really what we're getting into today. It's the heart of our deep dive. We're going to be looking at some ancient history, specifically stories from 1 Kings about the Israelite kings. But wait, don't tune out just because I said ancient history. Seriously, we're using these old stories like a mirror, reflecting lessons that are honestly kind of shockingly relevant for our own lives right now, today.
Absolutely. And what's really fascinating as we look at these sources, it's just how timeless this struggle is. Mm-hmm. You know, between knowing what's right and actually doing it. It's a pattern you see again and again from like way back then on ancient thrones all the way to us in our living room today. These kings, I mean, they had so much information, so many warnings, all this history right there for them, and yet they kept stumbling. So our mission today is really to unpack the consequences, the very real results of knowing something but not acting on it, and to see how those ancient lessons can actually guide us, not just kings, but, you know, all of us right now. It's about understanding why they made those choices.
Yeah.
And maybe seeing if those same things might be pulling at us too, perhaps in ways we don't even realize.
Okay, yeah, let's unpack that. Let's get into the history from 1 Kings chapters 15, 16 specifically. As you read through those chapters, there's this one phrase, this like verdict that keeps popping up, and it's, well, it's pretty chilling, frankly. King after king, it says, he did evil in the sight of the Lord. And this wasn't, you know, just a one-time slip-up or a single bad call by one guy. No, it was this striking, consistent pattern. A really devastating one, actually. It defined ruler after ruler in Israel's northern kingdom. Imagine, like, a performance review where almost every single leader gets the same failing grade, generation after generation. It's kind of staggering.
Yeah, yeah. It really is. And what's so crucial to get here is that these leaders, they weren't ignorant, not at all. They weren't just fumbling around in the dark, making decisions without any guidance. Quite the opposite, actually. They had extensive knowledge, undeniable knowledge, of God's ways. They knew the laws. They'd been taught about the blessings that came with obeying. And they were definitely aware of the consequences, the wrath that came with defying God. I mean, just think about it. They grew up hearing the stories of their nation's founding, right? They knew the Exodus story, how God saved their ancestors from Egypt. They lived with the Ten Commandments, like the core rules for their society. They knew about King David's amazing victories, knowing God fought for him. And they worshiped near King Solomon's incredible temple, this constant reminder of God right there with them. Their whole culture, their identity was all woven together with this divine history and these, you know, clear expectations. And what's more, the sources make it really clear they even got warnings directly, like straight from God's messengers.
Prophets, men like Jehu and Elijah, they stood right there in the royal courts, often risking their own lives, mind you. And they spoke God's messages loud and clear. These weren't like subtle hints or coded messages. No, they were direct calls to turn back, to obey, delivered by people speaking with God's authority. So the issue wasn't a lack of information. It wasn't that the warnings were hard to figure out. The problem, as the sources say so plainly, was rooted deep down in their hearts. It wasn't about what they knew. It was about what they decided to do with it.
Right. So, okay, if they had all this knowledge, the history, the laws, the blessings, even direct warnings from prophets, all of it reminding them of God's power and faithfulness, what does that tell us? Why? Yeah. Why, despite all that, did they still turn away? It's a huge question, isn't it? And it feels like it applies just as much today. What was the why?
It really does. Mm-hmm. And that brings up such an important question for us, connecting those kings to us right now. Why did they ignore those warnings, even though they knew better?
Yeah.
Our source material actually points to some really specific and very human reasons. And they're quite insightful, I think. First, there's this consistent choice of power over obedience. They put their trust in human alliances and the size of their armies and political games. They basically prioritized these worldly things over actually trusting God to protect them. They wanted control. Then there was the pull of idolatry. It's a big one. They turned to things like golden calves, these symbols of wealth, and maybe a God they felt they could manage. And also to Baal worship, which promised things like good harvests and local prosperity. They saw these as false security, maybe quick fixes without real commitment, tangible gods.
You know, something they could see and maybe feel like they controlled. Yeah,
exactly. Unlike the invisible God of Israel, who actually demanded something of them. Another key factor was what the sources call hardened hearts. It seems that repeated sin, doing the wrong thing over and over, sort of dulled their sensitivity to God. Their fear of God lessened. You know, it's like the more you compromise, even in small ways, the easier it gets to justify bigger things. It slowly erodes your conscience, makes you less responsive.
That makes sense. A slow fade.
Yeah, a slow fade. And finally, a really common human trap. They were mistaking patience for approval. Because judgment didn't always fall like lightning right after they messed up. They started thinking, oh, maybe it's okay. Maybe God doesn't mind that much. They totally misread God's patience, his willingness to give them time to turn around, as him basically giving them a thumbs up, or maybe just not caring.
Wow. And okay, here's where it gets really interesting, or maybe sobering. These choices, these internal heart issues, they didn't just stay internal, did they? They had massive real-world consequences. We're talking devastating effects.
Oh, absolutely. If you look at the bigger picture, those decisions by the leaders, those repeated choices to ignore God, they led to disaster for the whole nation. The Northern Kingdom especially just became this revolving door of assassination, conspiracy, and idolatry. I mean, can you imagine living like that? Constant chaos, violence, leaders getting knocked off, replaced by someone just as bad. It was a brutal cycle. The sources show how bad it got. Dynasties ending violently, sometimes really quickly. Palaces burning down like Zimri, who reigned for only 7 days before his own palace went up in flames because of his treachery. A nation that started with so much promise, so blessed by God, just crumbled because of its own disobedience. And it really hammers home this lesson from the Bible. God's patience had a limit, you know. There's a point where continued rejection just leads to consequences. And when the leaders went astray, the whole nation suffered. It really shows how much leadership matters, for good or bad.
Yeah, it really does. And, you know, it's so easy for us to look back at those ancient kings and just shake our heads, right? Like, how could they be so blind? But then the sources kind of turn the mirror on us. They challenge us directly. Okay, what about us? What about our lives right now? What kind of idols might be fighting for our trust, our loyalty, our obedience today?
It's a really personal question, isn't it? Because let's be honest, the basic human heart hasn't changed that much over the centuries.
Really hasn't. And the sources actually give us a pretty clear list of potential modern idols, drawing these direct parallels to those old golden calves and Baal altars. It's quite sobering. For instance, money. It becomes an idol when our security, our sense of peace, it's all found mainly in our bank balance or financial status. It replaces that deeper trust in God's provision. Not that money itself is bad, but when it's our ultimate safety net, that's the danger zone. It's what we instinctively turn to first.
Yeah, I can see that. Then there's comfort. This one's subtle, maybe. It becomes an idol when just being comfortable, avoiding difficulty, takes priority over doing things that are challenging but necessary. You know, things that might require sacrifice or stepping outside our comfort zone for a bigger purpose or just doing the right thing even when it's hard. When avoiding discomfort rules our choices. We also see politics sometimes acting like an idol. This happens when our biggest hope, our main trust, gets placed in governments or political systems or specific leaders or ideologies more than in God's kingdom, his bigger plan. It's when our whole identity or feeling of security gets wrapped up in a political party or figure instead of something higher.
That's a challenging one in today's world.
It definitely can be. And finally, approval. This one can be really powerful even if we don't always notice it. It's when what other people think of us, that desire to be liked or accepted, matters more in our decision-making than what we genuinely know is true or right according to God's standards. Whose applause are we living for?
Oof, yeah. That's a lot to think about. And, you know, while we don't have literal kings ruling over us in the same way, our sources kind of expand that idea of leadership, don't they? Influence isn't just for monarchs anymore. It's part of everyday life. I mean, think about it. Parents lead kids. Teachers lead students. As Christians living in community, we all influence someone, whether we think we do or not. Our choices, even the small ones, they create ripples. They affect our families, friends, coworkers, our church community. Every action, every priority, it sends a message. And that brings us right back to that same fundamental choice those ancient kings faced, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. For every single one of us, no matter our role, the question is still there. Will we follow the idols our culture pushes, or will we answer a call to faithfulness? It's a deeply personal choice, but it has effects far beyond just ourselves. And, you know, as we wrestle with these ideas, if you want to explore more about what choosing faithfulness looks like day to day, we really invite you to connect with us. You can always check out Pittsford Wesleyan Church or PWC online at pittsfordwesleyan.com. Or even better, come join us in person. We'd genuinely love to meet you and continue the conversation.
Yeah, we would. And I know listening to all this might feel a bit heavy.
Right.
I'll just talk about idols, consequences, failures. It's easy to look at those ancient kings and maybe feel a little discouraged about our own struggles. But here's the really good news the sources give us. God isn't demanding perfection. He's not. That's such a relief to hear, isn't it? We can kind of exhale knowing the standard isn't impossible flawlessness.
That's exactly right. And to really drive home this message of hope, the sources bring up King Asa. He's like a counterpoint to those other kings we talked about. Now, Asa wasn't perfect. Nobody is, right? But the key thing the scriptures highlight about him is that he actively tore down idols and sought the Lord. He made deliberate choices, sometimes really courageous ones, to get rid of those competing influences in his life and to try and point himself and the whole kingdom back towards God. It was this conscious effort to pursue what was right, even if his journey wasn't perfect. He had his own failings later on, sure, but that initial commitment, that core direction was vital.
So it wasn't about being flawless from start to finish.
Not at all. And what's really amazing here, the insight that gives so much hope, is that God honored his faithfulness, not his perfection. That distinction is just huge. It's such a powerful message of hope and, frankly, empathy for all of us. God isn't sitting there waiting for us to achieve sinless perfection. He's looking at the heart. He's looking for a life that's committed to him, that's trying to follow him, even when we stumble. His grace is there for our imperfections when our hearts are genuinely aimed towards him.
And that, I think, is really the invitation for all of us listening today. It's a call to embrace, well, imperfect faithfulness, but deliberate faithfulness. It's not about never messing up. It's about the direction we're facing, our willingness to turn away from the stuff that competes with God in our lives and to keep choosing to seek him. It's a journey, right? Not a single point we arrive at. And it's a journey we can start or restart right now, wherever we are. So wrapping this up, what does all this mean for you personally as you think about these stories? The story of these kings really is like a mirror, isn't it? It asks each of us to look honestly at our own lives and ask, whose path am I on? Am I following the example of Jeroboam and Ahab, who knew God's ways but just ignored them and ended up choosing destruction? Or am I aiming for the path of Asa, who, yeah, he wasn't perfect, but he chose faithfulness, and that brought life and alignment.
Yeah, and the challenge from the sources for this week is super practical, actually.
Yeah.
Don't just know what's right, live it. Yeah, maybe take a moment this week to think, is there one idol, one thing that's taking up too much focus or trust in my life? And what would it look like to choose faithfulness instead? Right there. It could be a small step, reordering a priority, maybe. Or just making a conscious choice to lean on God instead of that other thing. It's about moving knowledge into action.
Exactly. Because the core takeaway from this whole deep dive is really simple, but it's so important. Those kings were considered evil not because they didn't know about God. They knew plenty. They were evil because they ignored what they knew. Knowledge without obedience, that can lead down a really destructive road. But faithfulness, even that imperfect faithfulness like King Asa showed us, that brings life. That brings alignment. That offers a path forward. So as you go about your week, here's maybe one final thought to chew on. What is one small concrete step you can take, maybe even today, to bring your actions just a little bit closer to what you genuinely know in your heart is right? Thank you so much for listening to the PwC podcast today. We really appreciate you joining us for this deep dive into these important insights. And hey, join us this Sunday at 11 a.m. We'd love to see you there.